Hey there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. This week, the passage we'll be reading is Galatians 4, verses 12 through 20. We saw in our last passage that Paul was warning the Galatians against the dangers of legalism and allowing that to be the most important thing, the end-all be-all of our relationship with God. Not a new message and not a new fault for the Galatians, and neither for us today, that our human efforts can never come anywhere close to the perfect sacrifice that we needed that came from Jesus. As we look at today's passage, we'll see a side of Paul that maybe we haven't considered, given his use of strong language. He uses strong language here, but in a very different way. And so let's jump in here at verse 12. He says, "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessing you felt? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but it is for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." So we see this greeting that we've seen a couple of times. He begins calling them brothers. And then he gives them an instruction. "I entreat you, become as I am." Now, Paul is not saying I'm perfect. He's not saying I've got it all together. But he is saying he is secure in the beliefs that he has and the way that he is not just saying truth, but living it out. And trying to show them maturity in Christ, maturity looks like this. And then he says an interesting statement attached to that, "for I have also become as you are." A better translation of the verb would be, "because I became like you are." He's pointing back to his own personal struggle with being zealous and legalistic, and how that led him, as we know through his story, to persecute and kill the church, the early church. And so he's saying, I understand the appeal of being zealous for God, of wanting the law to be fulfilled, wanting to live out this life in the way that God set out in his law. But that only works so far, as we've seen the argument over and over and over throughout this letter, that the law was never meant to take us all the way to our salvation, right? It points us to Jesus. It points us to how desperately we need God. And then we find a little bit of the backstory of Paul with the Galatians in the origin of their church. He says, "You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first." And though that bodily ailment was a trial to the church, he says that they did not scorn or despise him, but received him as an angel of God and as Christ Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly what ailment he's talking about. A little later on, as he says that you may have gouged out your eyes in order to help me, some think maybe it had something to do with his sight, which would track physically from what we know his conversion experience was in seeing Jesus. But some other scholars say that it might be the thorn in his side, right? We're not sure. But what we know and what's important here is the response of the Galatian church, that they accepted him as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Again, pointing back to that same passage in Matthew, I think in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, you know, you clothed me, you fed me, you took care of me. And the response is, well, when did we do that? And he says, what you've done to the least of those, you've done to me. And Paul very frequently says, I am the least, right, of the apostles. I'm the lowest of the low. So I don't think that his pointing back to these words is accidental. And then he asks them, so you felt so good about me, right? You helped me out in my time of need. What then has become of the blessing that you felt, right? Why is now suddenly there's animosity towards me? And then he points out really where that animosity is coming from in verse 16, 17, 18. He says, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you." They being the Judaizers, the people who are trying to separate Jewish believers from Gentile believers, the ones that are trying to get these Gentile believers to acquiesce to every law and thought and Jewish ideal way of living that was somehow going to save them or make them more right with God, bring the relationship to its true nature instead of it just being this simple way of relating to God of salvation through Jesus Christ. Right? And he says, "They make much of you, but for no good purpose." So he's saying they are not doing well in leading you astray. And then he goes on further. They want to shut you out. They want to exclude you, which is an interesting statement. But again, I think points back to we see earlier in the letter that Paul calls out Peter for not wanting to sit with the Gentile believers for fear of these people. Right. So they're trying to this group is trying to separate this idea of the true Jewish religion. The true Jewish Christian is this way, and by excluding them from the actual true believers, the church universal that includes all who are in Christ, whether they're Jewish of origin or not, that status, right, is then potentially causing people to make much of the Judaizers. Hey, they're pointing out this is a good thing, and so it's an easy temptation to go, well, if this is a good thing, then I should be a part of it. If this is what God intended, if the promise that God gave to Abraham leads us into the law and fulfilling the law leads us into God, then yes, we should do this, and it's good that we have the law as Jews and we get to do this. And Paul's pointing out, no, this is not okay. This is not good. And he says it by saying the opposite. It's good to be made much of for a good purpose. So earlier he says that this is for no good purpose in verse 17, but it's okay to understand that salvation is a good purpose, right? And Paul is trying to teach that lesson to the Galatian church because he says, not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. A couple of really interesting good things here. My dear little children, and being this idea of being in the pains of childbirth, we see this fatherly Paul writing. He's so impassioned. He's so concerned. And it's not the concern of you need to be right because I'm right and you're wrong. It's a truly a concern of out of love, out of his heart for these people. He wants them to know the truth. He wants them to know who they are in Christ and what that really truly means. And so he makes this analogy as though he is as the mother of the Galatian church that birthed out of his efforts in Christ, that he wants to see these children of his, again, metaphorically, become more like Christ, right? And then he ends this with this section with, "I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone." So he's realized he's had strong tone, right? You foolish Galatians, you know, who's bewitched you? Why don't you emasculate yourselves? He's used this strong language and he knows it, and he's sad that he has to use that kind of strong language via letter because he can't be with them in order to talk to them to really understand. He's responding to what he's hearing happening in the best way that he can in the time given, right? That he's writing a letter since he can't physically be there. And so he's having to express himself strongly in order to have them understand what's happening. And it's important that they get it right. That's where his heart is. He doesn't want them to to miss out on the blessings of identity in Jesus. He wants more than anything, as he says, that Christ is formed in them. And that motivation should be ours as well, that as we disciple one another, as we go through life on our own, but also together, that our prayer for ourselves is that Christ be formed more in me, and that in my interactions with the church, that Christ is more formed in you because of how we are interacting together. And it's good to be concerned in that way, because then that doesn't leave room for selfish ambition. It doesn't leave room for my comfort is more important than someone else's. It's always a outward looking and upward looking position for our hearts, both as we regard ourselves and as we regard other people. And so as we continue through this study, as we consider Paul's words here, just remembering that the familial concern, the brotherly, the sisterly love that we have for those in God's family is a powerful thing, and can be an impassioned and should be an impassioned thing, but with the goal of becoming more like Christ, right? And being able to say like Paul, hey, young new believer, be more like me, not because I'm great, not because I'm perfect, but I've learned what it means to follow the Lord. I've been through struggles that you are facing right now or that you will face, and not that I've done it perfectly, but that we're able to say with maturity, this is how we handle this situation. That's a great goal and a great reminder of just the calling that we have on our lives. That it's not just sit back, it's not just lazy freedom in Christ, but it's a continual renewal of our minds. It's a continual process, and sometimes a difficult one, always an exciting one, and one that we're not doing just in our own power, right? We work out our salvation as God works inside of us. And so listening to the Holy Spirit as we face trials and temptations and celebrations and defeats, that's what it looks like to have Christ formed in us as we continue our pursuit of Jesus.